Father in heaven, we acknowledge you as our King, as our Creator, as the one who spoke all things into existence. And in particular, Father, we thank you for the 108 weather that's coming soon. Amen. Not really. Jesus, we thank you for coming. I mean, we do thank you for the hot weather, Father. We do. But we, in particular, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us and give us the freedom to be silly in front of you, to enjoy life in front of you, to praise you, to thank you. Thank you for sending your Son to save us. And Holy Spirit, as we come tonight and we talk about the scriptures in which you breathe life into, give us courage to believe what's true and to push aside what is false. Give us courage to listen to one another and to not hold against one another the way things are said, but to really seek out deep and honest truth that points us to you, to the Savior. And Jesus, I just want to acknowledge, as we often do and as I do, is that we're all here, and so that means something, that we're seeking you, but we're not all here in the same place. Some of us are just trying to hold it together in our heads. Some of us are excited to be here. And some of us aren't sure even about you or if we believe. But we're here, and so we ask that you would honor that in your holy name, Jesus. And we ask that all in your name. Amen. I'd like to start tonight just quickly in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 9. I would like to read it to you. Galatians chapter 3, if you're looking for Galatians and you grab one of the monument of Bibles here or anywhere else, it's, I think, on page 1152 or 53. But verse 9 says, "So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We're in this series on Galatians, and this little verse here was the verse that Mark ended last week with, and it's with this guy named Abraham, and I think it's important because it's saying that we are blessed with Abraham's blessing. And so we need to talk just quickly about Abraham. If you want to hear about his story, you can go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and you'll get a sense of this blessing. Because Abraham hears from God, and God tells him that he's going to bless all nations through Abraham. And Abraham has a crazy, awesome story, and you should go just read Genesis and find out about it. You can start in Genesis 12. But I want to talk to you quickly about blessing and what exactly blessing might mean and what it means to us, okay? Because if we are blessed with the blessing of Abraham, then what does that mean? So I like to give you three words, and if you've we've talked about blessing a few years ago, but I want to kind of remind you of this. And so when you bless somebody, number one, when you bless them, what you're doing is you're seeing them, right? You're actually seeing them. You're acknowledging their existence. So you see them. Number two, when you bless somebody, you actually call them. So you say, you see them, and then you're like, come here, right? So blessing is a seeing and a calling. And the essential part of a blessing, especially in ancient times, is a naming. Because when you give a name or a blessing to someone, you're not just you're just giving them a name that people can then identify them by. You're giving them a name that says who they are and what their calling is. So the blessing that you and I are participating in with Abraham, the blessing that we get, and we'll expand this, but the blessing we get is one where we're seen, right? We're called, and we're given a name. Okay, this is the thing that we're holding on to. Now, I have an exercise. I'm into exercises these days that I want one of you to participate in. This time it has to be an adult. I need a volunteer, and I need you to be honest. Somebody who can stand up in front of people and be honest. All right, come on up here. All right, let me give you the mic. No, we'll go rows in the back. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I know this is low, but I want you to look into this here and tell me what you see. And just talk out loud. Tell me what you see when you look at that.
Well.
Oh, is it on?
It looks on.
Okay, we're on. Good.
I see myself. I see a woman with her hair parted down the middle-ish. A dress. Arms, a face, lips and a nose, some eyes.
And how do you feel about that person when you look at them?
She's all right.
She's all right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Awesome. Anything else you want to say about yourself when you look in the mirror?
No.
No. Okay. So give Rose a hand. Thank you, Rose. So when you just, Rose kind of led us, when you look in the mirror, we can just start yelling, what do you see and how do you feel about you? Just yell it out. Tired, funny looking, goofy, sunburned, bearded, disappointed. That's not how I remember it. No, that's very good. Anyone else want to, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? How do you feel about what you see? Look somewhere else. Okay. Sad. Did somebody say happy? Happy. Good. What's that? Oh, ow, my eyes. Of course, expect that the middle schoolers have got some good ones for us. Anyone else? Play. Children. Cool. So we all have different experiences when we look into the mirror. But when we use a mirror, a lot of times what we're doing is to make sure there's no boogers in our nose, right? Make sure our hair is in the right place. And what's interesting, when you look in the mirror and then you walk away from the mirror, you forget exactly where everything was and you have to go back and look in the mirror, right? Like, you don't necessarily fully trust the mirror. And I always laughed at my mother when she would say this, because she would, when we would get in heated arguments, she'd eventually just throw this gauntlet down. I've been a Christian for 35 years. This is how it is. I'm like, okay, because it's just one of her things that she would say. Well, I've been a pastor now for 17 and doing ministry for 20 some odd years. So what I have to say might be important now. I'm a journeyman. And one of the things that I found in talking to people and kind of even just walking through as a human being in this world, is that we can boil down most of our struggles and the things that we have anxiety about in our parenting issues, in our marriage issues, in our work satisfaction, our ability to speak, all those kinds of things, right? They boil down to like the anxieties that are really kind of produced in those things, and what we think about ourselves really boil down to, what are we relying on? What is it that we rely on in our life to tell us who we are? Ultimately, all of our life is influenced and changed, and you know, just all those kinds of things based on what we're relying on to tell us who we are. Now, we're in this series on Galatians, and we're kind of in this chapter where Paul, the apostle who wrote Galatians to Galatia, which is in Asia Minor, thanks, Jeff. Southern Turkey, somewhere in there, right? This chapter, he's really wrestling with the Galatians about law and gospel and how do the Gentiles and the Jews get along. But you kind of need to understand what's happening, because when Jesus came on the scene and the church began, it started with Jewish people, because Jesus was the Messiah, the promised one. So they're the first to believe. And so they enter into this new thing, but they have an issue. Ethnically, they have things that identify who they are, right? And it's very hard for them to let go of those things. So one of the things that they had ethnically was the Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath. That means every Friday night until Saturday night, they didn't do any work. And they spent time worshiping God and resting. Nobody else did that. That made them distinct. Number two, and one of the more distinct things, is that they circumcised all of their little baby boys. Now, circumcision wasn't a new thing, but it was pretty new to do it to an entire nation, right? And so that set them apart. They were the circumcised ones. And then, as I said a few weeks ago, they had some food laws, right? These were the outward things. They didn't eat pork. They didn't eat some other stuff, right? They didn't like bacon. But these things made them different. This set them aside, right? So here they are. They're worshiping Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit pours out and these Gentiles get to come in the church. Now, what the Gentiles heard was that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, saw them, called them, and gave them a new name. And they're super excited. So they're in the church going, we've been called, named, and seen. Like, this is it. And then the Jewish people are like, whoa, 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 but you're eating bacon cheeseburgers. This is not going to work. You're not circumcised. And you don't keep the Sabbath the way we do. So we already have we've got this issue going on, and there's a conflict, right? And Paul is really afraid that what's going to happen is that the Jewish people are going to live by continually looking in the mirror to identify themselves instead of having God be the one who tells them who they are. And so he's working this process. So for us, we're just in the middle of it. Mark spoke kind of at the beginning of it last week. And here's a suggestion. If you want to know more about Abraham, if you want to know about, you know, how Jesus dealt with his disciples on the boat, then you should listen to Mark's sermon. Because you're not going to remember what Mark said unless you listen to it three times, right? So listen to Mark's sermon and boost the number of listens so he feels good about himself, right? And looks in the mirror and gets lost. Anyway, we're in verse 10, all right? And it starts out like this. So verse 10 says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue doing everything written in the book of the law. So Paul says, everybody's cursed who's under the law. And just by the way, like if you keep the law, then you're going to be cursed by it, basically, if you don't keep the whole thing. And he says, guess, you know, Deuteronomy says that, all right? But let's just talk about a couple of things going on here. Number one, let's actually talk about the curse that he's talking about. So what Paul is saying is if you carry a little bit of the law, the circumcision, the Sabbath, the food, and you don't do all of the law, then you're just hanging out with the curse because you can't keep it. But what is this curse, right? Well, yes, the curse is death. If you can't keep the law, because right, we talked about the law being like an MRI machine. All it does is yell at you what's wrong. It can't do anything, right? But the curse is death. It's like physical death, but it's not talking about like, the curse isn't just like, well, he's not here anymore. That's it. No. When they're talking about the curse, they're talking about all goodness being ripped out of you. And all goodness being ripped away from around you, right? So the curse is when all goodness is gone, you have an eternity of living with no goodness. And this is why Jesus explains it as a tormented, burning fire of hell, right? Because the curse is like a fire when there is no goodness. It devours you, and it will devour you for a life. And what Paul is saying, why would you want to go and live in a way, like keep a little bit of the way where you're just going to die, like, and where it's going to be separation from God. There isn't anything good about it. Why would you want to do that? What's the point in that? And yet, for us, we're like, yeah, what's the point? I mean, you don't need to circumcise. You don't need to not eat bacon. You don't need to keep the Sabbath Friday to Saturday. But you know what? Most of us are here on the mirror. Or 2 weeks ago, writing all those rules that we wrote down that we have for each other. We're all living there because this is safe. When I look in the mirror, I see a guy with ponytail who doesn't, you know, have the greatest hairdo. I see an old man who's gone gray after 17 years. Like, I see a lot of my anxieties on my face. Like, but this is safe. At least I know that guy. right? I know that guy. That's an easy one. But it's safe for the Jewish people to stay in where they're at, because if we're going to go with Jesus just calling us and giving us a name and blessing us, well, this could go bad. Like, this could go crazy. We need to have a little control on things. Verse 11, it says, clearly, no one is justified before God. So some of you might not know what the word justified means, right? Like, because I don't use the word justified. I mean, I don't sit down in premarriage counseling or conflict resolution and say, okay, like, we're going to get the two of you justified. We're going to make this happen, right? Unless a preacher's coming like, we're justified. Come on, okay, repeat after me, we're justified. Right, there you go. See, that's the time you're going to hear that word said like that. And you guys don't know how to yell anything. But justified simply means to be made right. Okay? To be made right. So what he's saying is that no one is made right before God by the law. Okay? Because the righteous will live by faith. So if you are made right, guess what you are? Righteous. Right? And the righteous live by faith. Well, what is faith? Well, faith is belief that catapults you into relationship, right? If in any relationship that's at any level close, you have a whole bunch of rules, and so you're like, okay, for you to be in relationship with me, you have to sit a certain way, we can't eat this kind of food, you may not talk about these subjects, then we can be close friends. It's not going to work, right? So that's what Paul's saying. It doesn't. There's no intimate relationship. The law cuts off intimate relationship. So if we've been justified by Christ, then we have to live by faith. It's belief that catapults us into relationship with God. So the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Okay, so the man who lives by the law, he does those things, that's going to be his world, right? That's going to be the place he's at. He's not going to be a person living in faith. And so here comes the important part. Paul's saying, look, the law is just so constraining, and it only is going to bring you down a dark road. So let's talk about actually what's important here. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree, which is another quote from Deuteronomy. So he's saying, in case you didn't think that Jesus took the curse, the law says that anybody who hangs on a tree is cursed, right? So just in case you didn't know, right? So he says that Jesus took the curse for us. So something crazy happened in the Trinity, right? Jesus came, he's fully God, fully man, he dies on the cross, and on the cross he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's a moment in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, where there is the full force of the curse poured out on Jesus, where all goodness is ripped away. In Romans chapter 5, another letter from Paul to another group of people. Verse 8, he says this, but God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So when we talk about this blessing, seeing, knowing, naming, the cross does the first two parts of that. Paul is saying here, the way that we know God's love is the cross. So if you could imagine, the cross says, I see you. Not I see everyone, right? I see you. I see you. And the cross is this thing where it's like, hey, come here, come here, come over here. Like, I see you. I died for you. Come here. Part of the blessing that comes from the death of Christ is that he invites you into something. So when we think about the sacrifice of Jesus, the demonstration of his love is that he's saying, come here. I see you, Eric. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. No, no, no. Don't turn your head. Come here. Come here. Come over here. Right? This is important because what Paul is super excited because this changes everything. It doesn't have to do with circumcision. It doesn't have to do with food. It doesn't have to be with Sabbath. The kingdom of God begins with a cross where the God of the universe says, I see you. Come here. No. Don't go over there. Come here. Right here. Right here. And Paul's like, that's life transforming. For us who've been in the church or we learned something about Christianity, maybe that doesn't sound as great. Maybe, I don't know. But for Paul, this is like, whoa, this is mind-boggling. The God of the universe demonstrated his love for you by dying on the cross. He's inviting you. Now, Paul goes on to say, now he's back to Galatians, where he goes on to say something. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Right? So we all kind of know what the idea of being redeemed means. I think we understand that. We're sharing in this blessing, and I love that Paul says it's not just so that the Gentiles can come in, but all of us, he says, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Okay? So if you imagine what Paul's saying is the cross says the first two parts of the blessing. I see you, come here. But when we come, what happens is we're named. We're given the Spirit, right? We're named. And here's where the core of everything is in the naming, in the Spirit of God, right? You are given the Holy Spirit. So, the reason that Paul doesn't want us to keep looking in the mirror, the reason that Paul doesn't want us to be bound up in all those rules that we wrote, is that they are confining and they don't tell us who we are. But if we're willing to approach the cross, what happens is we're given the Spirit and we're given a name. And when we're given a name, we're given a mission. And in this period of time, what we're called to do is figure out that name, to understand it, and to figure out that calling and practice it. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says another thing about the Spirit. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Right? So the name is a freeing thing. The name is a freeing thing. The law and what we see in the mirror is an imprisoning thing. It's a thing that binds us. And when you and I live out our life, most of the time we refuse to live in the blessing. We refuse to accept that God is calling us. We refuse to accept that he sees us. And we refuse to accept that he's given us a spirit of freedom. Right? And so we end up being slaves and bound, even though we're not. Because we find things that are comfortable to us. Right? And Paul is afraid that if his community goes this way, they'll be dead and they won't have a relationship with God and they won't have faith and there won't be intimacy. So, what I normally would do is say, okay, so let's work out how we have freedom. Let's work out how we activate the Holy Spirit in our life. Let's work out how we get the name. Because all of us want the procedure. We want the access to the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be bound by the mirror. We don't want to be bound by the rules. And so we'd like to make another set of procedures to be free. Right? And yes, as we go along in Galatians, Paul's going to give us some ideas about what it means to be free. But right now, my feeling is in our community and in me is that we're bound. That we are still looking in the mirror and we still have a bunch of rules for the how things should be. And we are refusing really to run up to the cross and accept that Jesus is saying, I see you, come here. I want to give you your name. I want to speak it to you. I want to give you my spirit. I want you to have freedom. Right? So this is what we're going to do. I think I have time to do this. I'm going to sit down. And then I just want, we're not going to mic it. But I want you to just yell out, hey, I need freedom from this. I need freedom from this. I feel bound by this. I feel like these rules are keeping me in a certain place. Okay? And we're going to do that for just a little bit. I feel like we just need to get it out on the table as a community. So I'm going to sit down. And the bravest of us will start. And go ahead and just yell it out. I'm going to turn my mic off. So, Paul is excited because what he says in Corinthians is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Oh my, come on, I know you're villagers. I know it's 5 o'clock, but we're going to yell like we're teenagers graduating, okay? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Thank you. Yes. Except for the little babies whose ears just burst. It's okay. Aw. Oh, I'm so sorry, baby. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Paul, the reason that he's going to work this up even more in the next section, he wants us not to be bound by the rules we make and the laws that we have and the things that we think we need to make life work. He wants us to live in the blessing of Abraham, which is the cross that invites us and the Spirit that names us. So I actually invite you tonight to continue the confession. We're going to have lasagna, which I've had Samantha's lasagna, and it's awesome. So over lasagna, let's talk about what it is that's binding us, what we're seeing in the mirror, what the rules are, what's keeping us from living in freedom. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for speaking to our community and for continuing to push us towards you, Jesus. We ask that you would bless our time of singing and our time of eating together. And ask that in your holy name. Amen.